So for instance, some of these, a lot of these are special ed programs, it looks like. These wouldn't impact agreed to IEPs?
Good point. I'm not saying that we go in and we pull all of the money out of every program that's available. We go in and we take a look at where we have balances that we could pull that wouldn't have that type of a mandated impact. Did I say that? Okay. We're not saying sweep the whole thing. We're saying take a look and surgically sweep what we can pull out. Yes, but when I get to my next slide, I think we're going to see the magnitude of the problem is so large that even if we prioritize it, we still need everything we can take. So let me. Any other questions on this slide? Okay, what I did here is just to give you an idea of some of the more, more popular or more notable programs that you probably heard about. I just simply listed those there. And really where the categoricals go to, it's they're there to provide support not only for instruction, but for professional development. So we could pull some money out of those areas. Anyway, that's just a listing of several of those that are on that long spreadsheet.
When you list something like GATE that way, you said the entire GATE program or
no.
Just the testing?
It would take a look at, let's take a look at the GATE program, okay? And I'm making this up. Let's just say there's $1 million in the GATE program, and that's not the right number. But let's say within the GATE program we've encumbered $500,000 in salaries and $250,000 in testing and supplies and materials that we know we need to spend, but we're carrying a balance of $250,000, it would be looking at taking that $250,000 balance that doesn't have a call on it at the moment and pulling it.
Before you leave this chart,
okay,
would you explain your headings at the top so we know how to read these columns?
I'm gonna have one of my staff do that.
Sure.
This is Philippa Geiger.
This is the worksheet we use to do our second interim budget revisions, and that's why it's titled Budget Second Interim at the top. Description column. Resource is the resource code that the state uses to categorize each of these categoricals. The INC is for income account. That's where we have to classify the income. Pseudocode is just a way we run our budgets here. We use pseudocodes. The next column is just who's in charge of that in the budget department. Program manager, who's in charge of that in the ed division. Dollar amount that we will get in new money this year, estimated. And then the next column is the carryover from 07-08. And the mega in-out is a previous flexibility that the state has offered us. We can take portions of certain grants and move them to other grants. So we do that, although there is nothing listed there, but we do use the mega item in and out. And then the ICR is the indirect cost rate that we can charge to each of these categoricals. That's the overhead cost, the 3.1%. Carryover is whether we can carry over the grant to the next fiscal year if necessary and what that limit is. And then the EG is just an accounting term for ending fund balance or deferred revenue.
So the ICR is what the general fund can charge to a categorical and pull in there. Have we been taking that?
Mm-hmm.
So is that possible that these numbers here in the amount column would be reduced by that 3.1% already?
I'm sorry, what was
the amount in the column, I'll let Philippa answer it.
So you're saying if we took some of this money, would the ICR, the indirect cost rate, be reduced? Is that?
No, I'm just wondering if the dollar amount has already been reduced by the ICR that's included.
No, it hasn't.
All right.
But
okay.
It is already in our budget. We have already budgeted for the indirect cost.
To come across.
Okay. Thank you.
The last column, EG code, again, is what?
It's an accounting term. It's how we account for the carryover. Either we have to account for it that we've received it because it's an entitlement and we're entitled to receive it, or we account for it as deferred revenue because we can't account for it as received until we spend it.
In the column, you have two entries, D and F. What do those stand for?
Deferred revenue or fund balance.
Fund balance is cash in the door?
Yes, it's because we've received it because we're entitled to it, even though we haven't spent it yet.
Okay. Why do you use the pseudocodes if the state has equivalent codes?
That's a great question.
When we switch to Sachs accounting, which is, I think, 32 numbers long, to get our payroll through the Orange County Department of Ed, who runs our payroll, we had to use a pseudocode. We're looking to getting away from the pseudocode,
okay. But
we haven't yet.
It's an internal way of simplifying 32 characters to a few.
Forced by an external structural constraint.
Exactly. But I think that external structural constraint we can manipulate around that. And I think what I would like to do is get back to just the Sachs code, because everybody's on Sachs code, and then I don't have to learn a new language. But,
and that's the state resource code?
Yeah. Well, that, and there's other... The Sachs code is quite long.
Okay, so you've got totals in the new dollars estimated amount for this year, a little over $83 million.
State and federal and other.
Right. And then almost $15 million from the carryover from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that treated in the budget that we're currently operating under? I mean, is that truly unallocated?
No, that's been spent. No, that is the amount of money that we're receiving in those programs, and then from here, then it's budgeted out.
Okay.
We're just looking at revenue here on this page.
Okay, so
right?
That's not found money.
No. This is just a printout of the programs and the money that we're receiving from them. All of this page translates to what we believe is somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million that we could pull out off of this page from lines 46 through, 96.
Out of about... nearly $100 million of categorical money.
But keep in mind, some of that is federal categorical and has nothing to do with this.
Are there restrictions on looking at that money?
Yes, there are restrictions on that, and the feds have not given us any flexibility on that. That would be interesting if we had flexibility on federal categoricals.
I don't know if Mr. Larkin's here, but I'm sure he's got a theory on that. Starting to like his property tax withhold theory better and better with every week.
You can sign that little note to the governor.
Okay. So this is one bucket of information to look at.
It's a good way of looking at it.
Okay.
I just have a question on an explanation of, the TUPE, for most of us that don't know it. Tonight, but just in the future, it's something that will...
Oh. You might have to turn it on. Are you not using it?
Sorry.
Towards you, I think.
Sorry. Is it on now? Okay. Just, an explanation, not necessarily tonight, but an explanation of the, TUPE, what is that? Just so we know what all these categoricals are.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Yes.
I'm sure we have a definition. We have it written out somewhere. We can provide that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on that before I move on?
Do we spend the 0708 carryover before we spend the current year dollars?
Philip, do we just put that into the whole budget number and then budget out of that whole number?
Right, but we do spend the 0708 carryover first. But it depends on what grant, because we have to spend it by grant. So we might have spent 0708 carryover plus 0809 grant money in one grant and still have carryover from 0708 in a different grant.
So some of this $14 million might already... We don't know how much of this 14... that relates to 46 to 96 is gone. Okay, I get it.
Well, that's where we think the $10 million comes in, of the carryover balances and the unallocated monies for this year, or the unencumbered or unspent monies, or monies that are encumbered that we think we might be able to capture. We think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million. We have to go in and create that. We haven't. We've just taken a ballpark look at it.
Can I ask a question on item number 12, which I'm a little bit off topic here, the gift account? Does that include PTA funds at this time? It does include PTA funds?
Anything that they've donated.
So PTAs, if they pay for field trips, for example, outdoor science school, they would donate the funds to the school's gift account, so it would include anything that they've donated.
And then we have to pay the
vendor. Then we write the invoice to Orange County Department of Education, for example, for the field trip.
Are those funds currently frozen?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, gift funds were not frozen, and most of those, the majority of that money does come from the PTA or some other donor.
Right, okay. So it passes through our account. Thank you.
Okay. Also, within his proposal, there's additional flexibility that the governor has put forward. And on this slide, I have drawn a line, and everything above the line is stuff that has been proposed that we can take a look at. The things below the line are things we would recommend just doing as a course of business. So let me review these. The governor has proposed that they remove the restrictions on the class size reduction money and allow class size to float, so that we would receive the money basically in the same amount we received this year or last year, and that we could let class size float up to our standard, which is, I think, 31.5, is that 30.5, without penalty from the state. So what they've done is he's proposing to take the cap off of class size reduction but not take the dollars away. Where this will go, I don't know, but that's what he's proposing. If they do that, we think that would yield, if we captured that and let class size float up there, about $15 million.
We would be reducing the teachers then,
right? That is correct.
Okay.
Another proposal is to shorten the school year as a way of using this as a negotiation tool to help some savings. But the issue with this is this would have to be negotiated at the local level. We can't just shorten the school year without negotiating it. But he's proposing to provide that as a flexibility tool for the next 2 years.
Not only are our students not educated for those 5 days, but we don't get the revenue for it.
No, we're going to give you the cut that we already discussed, and if you can negotiate reduction of your school year to help offset that cut, then you can do that.
So no loss of ADA for those days.
That's correct. That's a good way to look at it. He's saying here's a tool, a mechanism you could use to help offset some of that cut. If you can negotiate five furlough days with your bargaining units, then that would help as well. They also propose, and we've talked about this one before, is the reduction of the required reserve, the designated ending balance that we have to keep, reducing that from 2% to 1%. And that is not something that I would recommend that we do, because you've got to repay it. So if you dip into that this year and next year, then you've got to repay it in the following year. So it comes back to roost real quick. The two items below the line is capturing the deferred maintenance match. We've talked about this one before, where we are given, we have to put a certain amount of money away in a match from what the state gives us that goes into our deferred maintenance program. Deferred maintenance is for things like repairing roofs and floors and painting and HVAC. It's for the big ticket repair items. What that does is it just postpones some of those major maintenance issues because we're not putting as much money into that fund. The other one that when we first looked at this, I wasn't sure it would yield much savings, but I think as if we can take a harder look at it and really close in on it, it might help us out some, and that is our routine restricted maintenance transfer. We are required to transfer 3% of our general fund expenditures into routine restricted maintenance for the maintenance of buildings because we're participating in the state building program. They're proposing to reduce that to 1%. One of our challenges is our routine restricted maintenance account doesn't really carry a surplus. We pretty much over the years have spent what they've given us and even then some. So what we need to do is really work on budgeting that and getting that under control and bringing it down if we can. So that's something we need to take a look at in and of itself, and we may be able to pull some money out of there, but I wouldn't put it on the table until we can go take a hard look at it. Any questions on that slide? Okay, this would be our initial response, basically our initial recommendations, and it would be to kind of capture what they're proposing in flexibility, capture what I think what most districts in the state, if not all, are probably going to go in and try to do. So if we take a look at this for 08-09 for this current year, there's that we're estimating about $10.5 million in categorical flexibility. We'd be able to pull some money out of some of the other programs that are listed there. Some of those are balances like the discretionary block grant. That's a one-time money. There's some balance left. Art block grant, there's one-time money left. These would not impact salaries. These are just pulling monies out that are there. If we take that flexibility, we can come up with almost what we need, almost up to that $15 million. And this is before, I want you to keep in mind, before we've really gone back into the budget and taken a look at our encumbrances to see if we plan to spend money that maybe we can do without. So I think, as I sit here tonight, with the numbers that we have, knowing that they're going to be refined and reviewed, I think we can squeak through this year. Go ahead.
For flexibility, have we not spent some of that money already between July and December?
That is what we believe remains unspent, and we need to go in, like I said earlier, go in and start surgically looking at all of that.
Okay, so that is unspent.
That's what we believe is there.
Okay.
But let me put the caveat on it. Until we really dig in, I can't quantify that number until we really get in there. That's what our estimate is. This slide, what I was hoping to take away from it was that we can probably get through this year, with the exception of the cash flow issue, but if we can tighten down, we might be able to squeeze through on the cash flow issue, but it doesn't look to me at this point that we need to make any radical cuts or dig into anything in 08-09. I may be proved wrong in 2 weeks after we've had a chance to dig through it, but sitting here today, I'm pretty confident in that.
Ron, a question going back to reduce the routine restricted maintenance. How long could we go before we would have to take some action on this?
You mean before we would have to bump it back up?
Yeah.
I don't know if we could end up reducing it this year because we're so far into the year and we've most of it's salaries and stuff. So next year it's probably something we could take a look at. I think I really need a chance to take a look at that budget more in depth before I really determine how much we could save there. But keep in mind, if we're spending all of our maintenance money every year, that means things are being done and that we wouldn't be doing some maintenance. So some things would go unrepaired, for lack of a better way to explain it. Okay. Here's where it gets very, very difficult and very tight, is when we move into the next fiscal year. We think we have approximately, looking forward, $7 million in categorical flexibility. That number is now lower because we've captured the carry-forward balances and gone through and tightened things up. So that's pulling down what we think would be available next year. There's some money that would be available in the school improvement in SIP, school improvement program, as well as capturing that deferred maintenance match again. For next year, so categorical flexibility next year somewhere, or total estimated flexibility, excuse me, somewhere in the $10 million range. But we have revenue limit reductions of $22.5 million. So when you do the math, we need about 12.5, but that's not all of the story. Is we have costs that are increasing, which COLA, you know, when you get COLA, it's supposed to cover increased costs like health and welfare and step and column and those types of things. Those continue. We'll be adding another grade at San Juan Hills High School next year. There's costs involved in that. We have step and column for employees as well as health and welfare benefit costs that go up. And so if you put what we've estimated for that on top of it, we need to find about $22 million for 2009-2010.
Trustee Bryson, thank you. Would you be kind enough to explain to everyone how step and column works? I've had a lot of parents asking me to explain that, and I think it would be good if you just explained that process, because people think it's something that can be removed at will, and there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding out there about that.
I'm going to defer to Suzette, since that's right up her alley. Is that okay, Suzette?
Yes, I have step and column on my resume now that I can explain, I think. The salary schedules are structured where employees move over by their years of service. Those are known as steps. And essentially, on the classified employee salary schedule, there are only steps. There are no columns. And instead, on the classified salary schedule, there are ranges. So employees are placed on a range based on their job classification. For certificated employees, there are steps. So they move down steps by years of service. And columns move over to the right by additional units that teachers take beyond their bachelor's degree. So for every roughly chunk of about 15 units, they could potentially matriculate over a column. There are four columns. So columns are not automatic movements. Teachers have to take additional postgraduate units. They have to do that within a given time frame within the contract. Step and column, though, essentially, and it's hard to estimate how many teachers will move over columns if they're in the middle of a master's degree or something like that, but we have a rough, from past data, you can roughly estimate about what it is, and you can estimate about how, you know, your number of teachers that will matriculate down steps, and the same with classified. And so in each collective bargaining agreement, that automatic movement is a contractual provision or guarantee, as we say. That is a step and column, probably in a longer definition than you needed.
Madam President, may I ask another question?
Yes.
Thank you. That was a very good explanation, because in essence what you're saying is once it is in the contract, it is not something that the board has the ability to at will just change or alter, because the questions I've had, people seem to have a severe misunderstanding of how that operates.
That's correct. Any change to that would be subject to collective bargaining for all of the bargaining units.
I know one of the things that we had talked about, Trustee Palazzo and I, as well as President Adonizio, was a prioritization, you know, bringing some this, the categoricals and what exactly we spent on categoricals and what types of things. And we would be happy to do that, yet when you look at this, when I looked at this slide and we began to put the numbers together, there was a realization that we can go through that prioritization process, but we need to capture all of that money anyway in order to try to float through and remain solvent. And if we capture all of that and take advantage of everything the state is allowing for us to, we still have to find more money in addition to that. That's how dire the situation is. So we're happy to bring that back and go through that exercise, but we need $22 million for 9-10, and we're looking at $20 more million in 10-11. It just, as you roll out that multiple year. Yes, ma'am.
I'm looking at, like, the special ed transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, that you we have to,
correct,
to do. So
correct.
That is not included in that $10
million. That is correct.
Okay, so in essence, also then on this sheet, it would be helpful to know, for example, special ed isn't going, you know, a little star or something. That does that make sense?
I think the next thing we would do would be bring back this sheet, maybe in condensed form, and say, here's the categoricals we were looking at sweeping out of it, and we just didn't have time to put that together.
No, that's fine. But no.
But you, good, very good point. We can do that. Okay.
Madam President, I have a question.
Trustee Bryson.
I don't see necessarily reflected on here all of the consulting fees that we pay that I've been asking, you know, that we start tightening up on consulting. Where would they appear here?
Those would be within the budgets for each one of these, as well as, you know, other places throughout the budget in the district.
Right. Could they be all accumulated into one thing so that we can see all consulting fees in one spot?
I believe we've sent that out. I'll be happy. We'll package that up and send it out again in the Friday update.
Okay, thanks.
Not a problem at all.
I don't know if this is a good point in your presentation to bring this up, but I had a meeting with Mr. Lebs a couple of Fridays ago, and we had a really good exchange of information and ideas. And one of the things that came up, which sounded like a good idea for the board and the public, would be to ask Mr. Lebs and his staff at a future budget workshop, probably, maybe at a regular meeting, whatever the appropriate time and place is, to explain to us more about the accounting software that CUSD is using and its reports capability. Just using what's probably a ridiculously, stupidly simplified analogy, QuickBooks has it's basically a database, and then it's got a lot of applications built into it on predetermined reports it can run, and then you can customize reports. And I think as we get into the process of really taking a hard look at programs and asking questions like the one asked by Trustee Bryson, it would be probably helpful for us, and you'll probably field a lot more intelligently formulated questions from both us and the public if we have a sense of what your tools are and how we can all use them together. So have you thought about that conversation? Then?
We could probably have a Saxon QSS 101.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
How long would that take?
Well, for us to present or for...
Could you do...
Or for everyone to understand how it works.
Instead of 101, could we do for dummies?
Dummies? Sax for dummies? That, you know, I believe that staff does those on a regular basis, and we could package that up and...
do it on a regular basis, okay?
Well, no, we do training.
You meant the 101, not the dummies.
No, the 101. We can do that, and we'd be happy to.
Thank you, President Adonizio. I personally will extend now an invitation to you to come and sit with the treasurer so that he can tell you the probabilities and that you can present then to the rest of the trustees what the probabilities are for funding, when that might occur, and also if you would like to speak with our accounting department that handles $7 billion and see how they do and how they project, you're more than welcome. And I will arrange that for you and anyone else you'd like to have come with you.
I think I'll take you up on that offer. Thank you.
Getting back to this discussion and the word projections rang loudly, do you have some kind of tool to chart out over time expenses as they come due versus revenues as the revenues show up, so you can see where in the pipeline we're going to get choked?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And we're working on that. I believe, Philippa, if I'm not mistaken, we're working towards to get to second interim, get that kind of solidified and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I work on that every day.
Okay.
The problem being, I don't know when the budget will pass, the mid-year cuts will pass, so I don't know...
You didn't get the news?
...what cut we're going to take and when we're going to take it. So I have various scenarios going until I know exactly... Because if the mid-year cuts pass in time for February, we get a bigger hit than the $9 million. But I don't know if that's going to happen, and so it may just be the $9 million. It may be worse. I'm just watching to see what happens.
Is that part of your Saxon program, or what tools do you use to track cash flow and expenses?
I have a cash flow worksheet of all income and all expense accounts, and I fill that in with actuals on a monthly basis, and then I track based on projections.
Okay. Would it make sense for you to share that with us? Would we understand it?
Sure.
I'd be curious to see it.
You have to do that manually? That doesn't come through your accounting software? Your
the
cash flow analysis on a monthly basis?
The reason it doesn't is because we didn't go with the county software that they use. They do that for the districts that are on their software. We're not on their software, so we do it ourselves.
Okay. Thank you.
The cash flow... Go ahead, Mr. Wilson.
What would it take to go with the county software for that function?
Money.
How much?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe somebody should talk to somebody who knows the treasurer.
Trustee Bryson, you know the treasurer.
Okay.
Just one more item. We seem to have covered everything here with regard to categoricals, and that's fine, but every item here would affect the students and directly, basically, at the sites.
Yes.
So what cuts are we taking that would be away from the sites and the students? I know most of our money is spent there, but not all of it is spent there.
That would be the next workshop, where we would start looking at other things to cut. What I wanted to do tonight was simply frame what the state had proposed and what flexibility the state had allowed. I mean, one of the things, maybe this is the time I'll editorialize for a moment. You know, as I look back on what Capistrano Unified has had to do over the last 3 years, they've gone through a process of cuts, of significant cuts, both to administration as well as classified and Teamsters, bus drivers. Last year, if I have the number correct, I think it was 84 classified and bus drivers were let go. That's a significant reduction in force in the classified staff. And Suzette, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the number of administrators that have been reduced over the last 2 years, was it 40?
It's either 42 or 44 since the 06-07 school year.
So this is an analogy I would use to describe that. I think the district has done a very, very strong, solid job of protecting the classroom. And if you look at the classroom as the core of the system that we've been protecting, and the classified staff as a support mechanism and the administration as a support mechanism around that, it helps hold that nucleus together. I think what we've reached is that tipping point where if we begin to peel any more layers off of that onion, so to speak, that holds the core together, that the support of the classroom is going to begin to break down. And I'm not naive to think that as we move towards categorical flexibility and what end up being cuts, that does impact that core program, because those categorical dollars are there to support that. But I think we're at the point where no matter what we do at this point, no matter where we cut, it will impact or affect the support that the classroom has, whether indirectly or directly. Now, that's just my editorial comment.
I guess we can move on to the next slide.
All right. You know, I agree with everything you just said, and we're being... tasked with a really unenviable task with an unfair set of circumstances that are largely right now out of our control, and the only thing that would have fixed it would be to have a time machine.
Yes.
That being said, at some level and some point in this process, we as a community and we as a board are going to have to make some really tough decisions, and there's going to be a lot of good arguments for preserving every potential cut, and there aren't going to be any easy cuts. The easy cuts are gone. So we are going to need all the information to look at, and I think at some point we may be looking at five of these and making some working through a process, and it's probably not going to be an easy or quick process, but it's going to I don't know what judgments are going to be made and what input we're going to hear and what proposals we may hear, but we need all the cards out on the table so we can figure out which hand we want to put together.
Well said. Here's the action steps that I think we should take as we move forward from here, and this is subject to board direction. This year, essentially, it's too late for layoffs for 08-09, and as they postpone this budget decision much longer, it becomes even more difficult. What we are doing now is we are freezing all non-essential spending. Now, I know that's open to interpretation, but what we're trying to do is really go through purchase order by purchase order and have multiple eyes look at it to make sure that does it need to go through or can it wait. Second, there is we're trying to conserve as much cash as possible to get through the cash flow challenge. Third, we've started to go back through and review all encumbrances. And an encumbrance is when someone wants to spend something, they pull a purchase order requisition, and they encumber that amount of money. So let's say I want to go buy magic markers. I'm making this up to be really simple, down at Office Depot. So I pull a purchase order for $25, and then I go down to Office Depot. Here's my purchase order. I purchase those, bring them back, and then they bill us for it. Well, let's assume that I pulled a purchase order, and maintenance and operations does this, and is a good example, is they sit down the first of the year, and they pull open POs. They secure an open purchase requisition for HVAC supplies or painting supplies or general hardware. And so we have, say, a $50,000 open purchase order with the HVAC supply company for materials. And let's say that, okay, now we're over halfway through or close to halfway through the year, and we've only spent $10,000 of that money. Well, now it's time to go back through and look to see if are we really going to spend it all or are we going to need it, and then to go through and bring those encumbrances down. And what that does then that will show that at the end of the year we would have more money left in our budget, and then we can take a look at that and can we move that. And if we go through those encumbrances and find amounts, then we move those as well. So that's an exercise that we're going to go do. Now, let's say we have a major HVAC failure here at the district office and it's going to cost $50,000. Well, then we pull a purchase order and then we go do the repair. It doesn't mean we can't do it. It just means we pulled down what we were planning to do. Is that logical? Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
We received an email in the last week or two from a teacher who was complaining about Scantron machines at her school not being repaired.
Okay.
In her words, for apparent lack of repair money. How does that happen, and whose decision is it, and why?
If I could offer an easier solution, if you receive those emails, forward them to us so that we can follow up and get it taken care of. There's not an intention to not repair things or not provide money for essentials. If that needs to take place, if that's the case, that process would generally go back up through the principal. But if you're receiving those emails, send them to us. We'll follow up on them.
Okay. So it's not a matter of the principal not having the money?
I don't have enough information to answer the question, because the Scantron, it could be for general testing. It could be something out of a specific program. There's a lot of variables that come into play. But if something's broken and it needs repaired, and they're making you as the Board of Trustees aware of that, send that to us so we can follow up on it.
I'll find it and send it to you.
All right, thank you.
Before you go to your wrap-up, it does trouble me that we have a $500 million a year budget, and we don't have state-of-the-art software to interface with the county treasurer, who is essentially our banker, as I understand it. I think we're making your job harder, and we're not giving you the tools that you need to do your job the best you can do it. And as we go forward, this situation is not going away. It's probably getting worse. And our new president said it's probably not going to be fixed the next time a president is inaugurated. So, and I know your staff is already burdened with too much work, but could you find somebody to look into this for a few hours and let us know what you learn, and if that's something we should look at, if the cost is not an eyeball popper?
I'd be happy to do that.
My personal opinion is, don't be pound wise, penny wise, pound foolish, and we have to manage $500 million that will be $450 million next year and $400 maybe the year after. And we can't do that and run the schools without the best tools out there for financial management possible, and especially if there's an electronic data interchange capability between the district and the county treasurer that we're not using to the fullest capability. We need to do that. So, and maybe there's a good reason for why we're not doing it, but we need to be educated about that.
I agree, Trustee Winston. Just to clarify, it's Orange County Department of Ed. That's where our payroll is tied, not the County of Orange. But some of the school districts of the 28 in the county have direct, their payroll system is directly tied into, so it's OCDE, not the County of Orange.
Madam President?
Yes, thank you.
To clarify also, the money that they use to pay your payroll is invested by the Orange County Treasurer, Chris Street, and that investing pool is what has rated number one in the nation recently. We got the award for that because it's the safest and best invested, most conservatively invested, which means everyone here who works, all of the employees, almost 5,000, all of the teachers, everyone, that money is protected through that process. And it would be the treasurer's office that would do the loaning if that is put into place. So you will be invited, as I said, we'll arrange that this evening for you to come with whoever you wish to do that. But I have another question, if I may, Madam President.
Yes.
Brief question, but it's more of a request. We had something presented to the Board of Trustees at the last regular meeting, which was the cell tower, the cell tower issue, and we're still discussing it, so we haven't come to a conclusion. But the good thing about that discussion is that it represents a revenue stream that we don't have on our books at this time. Is that correct?
That's
if
correct.
They were to upgrade, whichever one gets it, if they were to upgrade.
If we were able to, yes.
Right. So that might pump another $300,000 into our coffers if we pick one of them and they do a good job of it, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I can sit here and quantify that amount or the time frame in which it would come in. But if it, whatever it did, would come into general fund.
But that might be a potential revenue stream as
that
opposed
is exactly
to what
correct.
We're looking at, which is a very depressing, not arriving revenue stream. So this is a real potential revenue stream. And would there be any other potential for use of sites such as our theaters, the San Juan Hills High School? Could we generate a revenue stream by offering that to various cities that would pay us for the use of the facility?
We do. We have that available through our facilities use process.
Okay. And is there any other potential revenue stream that we could think about as trustees in the future where we might see income coming in?
I think that's something we'll have to go back and noodle on.
Because I think we need to start looking at creative income streams that come into the district and focus on the positive possibilities of additional revenues and additional income streams.
Okay. I'm in the home stretch here.
Okay.
No, go ahead if you have a question.
I was just going to recognize Trustee Christensen. Better be short.
It's short. Actually, it's on the lines with Anna there. And this action steps, as far as probably including another item on there in your spare time, is to look at the various options of revenues. There's a lot of options and suggestions that came up in the last several board meetings by people at the podium, which I think a lot of them look like they could really do some good. Some of them could probably be eliminated right away because they might be illegal, or there's some sort of school. There's so many restrictions from the state and whatever. But anyway, I think if we could go back and take a look at some of those and just review them and see. Just a couple of things that come up to mind is that when this building was built, we had the Thornsley building, and that was supposed to save $500,000 a year by not using it moving over here. Well, we're still using it, so there might be $500,000 a year if it's consolidated over here. It's just something to look at. I don't need you to address that. But even on the radio a couple weeks ago, I was hearing that the Port Authority was looking for hundreds of acres of land to store cars because there's so many dealerships that are bringing in cars from on the ships that they have no place to put them. We have our Dana Point busing area. And so there's a lot of things like that that I think we need to look at. And I don't want to push that off several budget meetings down the line. I think they need to be looked at now, because if we're proactive and start some of these things at this point, and you know, if we can gain $3 million within a year from now, well, that's $3 million less, just a number, that we don't have to worry about trying to get in our $20 million shortfall. So it's just, I'm hoping that kind of thing can just be brought forward.
We will be happy to do that.
Trustee Winston.
In that regard, last week, Rhonda Whalen and the CSEA invited the trustees to come and do Q&A and meet the CSEA membership in this very room, and we had a lovely meeting, and one thing that came up is this very topic of trying to solicit out-of-the-box ideas or efficiency ideas from those who are working in the district every day. And I think I heard somebody from the union say that they would like us as a board or the district to provide them a way to do that. And I'm wondering, Scott Sexsmith, would it be terribly feasible to add a link to the district website, sort of literally a suggestion box input form? And you know, if employees want to be identified or not identified, I don't care. It's the idea that's important. And you know, maybe you could configure it so those kinds of things are auto-forwarded to Mr. Labs and Suzette or anybody else who wants to be on that list, and each of the trustees, so that we can collectively or individually, as the case might be, look at ideas and decide which ones we want for further discussion. And you know, provide some instructions that if somebody's going to submit information, they need to provide all the detail necessary to follow up on it.
President Adonizio. Trustee Bryson, thank you. Another suggestion, Suzette. I brought it up, I believe, last time. I'm not sure if it, I think it was the last board meeting. If we could have some discussion of holding the line or preventing as much overtime as humanly possible. I'd rather see people have their jobs than other people run up overtime might cost us an employee, either in any of the arenas. So I think this is the time when we need to let go of overtime and keep all of our employees. So if we could work on that, I'd be very appreciative. Mr. Libs.
Okay. A couple more points on this slide, and we'll move on. I think I left off at capture all categorical flexibility, and I have the little graphic of guy picking fruit there, and that is that really with this categorical flexibility, what they've done is they provided new fruit on the trees. Over the last several years, districts have gone through and they picked all that low-hanging fruit. This is kind of a refruiting of the tree if we want to end up picking that fruit. I would recommend that we maintain our 2% reserve, as we've talked about, and anyway, I'll leave it at that. And then complete negotiations, because what that will do is help quantify exactly where we are, and that helps lay another block in that foundation. For 2009-2010, really our next steps are to start building that line item budget review, and in a minute I'm going to ask for some feedback and input from the board on that. But that's where we start bringing those ideas that we've heard and start presenting that and start talking through that with the board as we put the budget together for 9-10. And then as well for 9-10 is to commence and complete negotiations as soon as we possibly can with that as well. So here we are. I think I have two more slides here. Just to wrap up, or just a reminder that 85% of our budget is salaries and benefits. Makes it very difficult with that much of our budget wrapped up in people, and we are a people business, to make cuts that don't impact someone. the magnitude of this problem necessitates a reduction somehow, some way, some shape or form that will reduce the cost of our payroll. And the only way you can do that is through fewer people, which requires layoffs, or through reduced payroll, which is subject to negotiation. So there's some constraints that come into play, is if you're going to do layoffs for certificated, there's a March 15th deadline, so that's approaching. If classified, you have to notify them 45 days in advance. With reduced payroll, there's ways you can reduce payroll. That's in fewer days or fewer hours, like the furlough days the governor is proposing. You could have a salary reduction or a salary rollback, as well as coming up with a way to reduce the cost of benefits. I just wanted to make sure those were put out there for discussion. So this is the information that we have heard from you over the last several sessions. And again, I just have to kind of scratch my head and think how many budget presentations we have done this year, and before we've even got to here in January, where we now have a budget proposal. This is pretty crazy. Anyway, so this is the direction that we have heard from the board, is that you wanted us to plan for the worst case scenario, and we have shown that information, though I wouldn't recommend that we go to the bank and budget off of that. Protect the classroom, both teachers and supplies, preserve class size, no layoffs, operate the district like a corporation, and then I really, my line isn't where it should be, but what I wanted to do is put that red on there to say these items from operate the district like a corporation on down are things we've heard you say that we need to have you help define what that means. How do we put legs on that and make that work for us as we move through the budget? So those are things you can be thinking about as we prepare for our next budget discussion is off of here, is how would that look to you? Okay. Anyway.
Question. In terms of payroll cost, do you have quantified, and if not, can you put it on your endless list of things to do, to take a look at reasonable attrition estimates, since we have a hiring freeze, I believe. So that means we're not adding people, but I assume that every year there's going to be some people retiring, some people moving, some people leaving the workforce for their own reasons. And can we look at what we can expect from that for the next 2 years?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So here's next to the last slide. Our current fiscal situation is unprecedented. Mid-year cuts are substantial, but I believe sitting here today that they're largely manageable through the flexibility that's being provided if we want to take advantage of it. Next year's budget will not be manageable without impact to both programs and people. I don't see any way around it sitting here. Every penny we save this year helps next year, and every penny we save next year helps the following year because it ends up in the ending balance. So that's why we're combing through to try to save every penny we can, not only for the cash flow, but to make fiscal solvency as well as budget. So here we are at the conclusion. Now is not the time to panic. We can and will solve this budget problem, and so I kind of created this idea, is that there's the three T's. We can get through this, but it's going to require a team effort, and it will require the involvement and participation of everyone: the board, CUEA, CSEA, the Teamsters, the public, the administration. We really need, if it's going to work, it's going to take all of us. We need to provide transparency. That means we need accurate numbers. We need good information. We need to have it available, and in the event that we make a mistake, we need to correct it and get the right information back out, because as we're trying to solve a problem with unquantified information, we're going to use numbers that are going to be changing. So I to be transparent in that and get as much information as we have and keep that flowing, as well as this is going to require trust. Now, I've learned that you can't make someone trust you, but you can be trustworthy. And so as staff, we will work to operate in a trustworthy manner by presenting accurate information as best we can, and then to follow through on what we commit to do. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions or take down any notes on comments you might have.
So these numbers that have been provided to us are with regard to reduction in revenue provided by the state, and we're not so far accounting for potential increases to the cost of our supplies and so forth, health and benefits and so forth, right? So we are really looking at, if we're talking about
and we're not going to go with the worst case. I'm just going to pull out whatever number might happen to be here, the 15.8 or 15.5. We actually may be looking for additional dollars simply because we're not accounting for an increase in the cost of goods and services to us.
We believe right. We've accounted for those for this current fiscal year because we budgeted for all of those costs for this year. That's when you look, now that's that slide. When you look at 09-10, that line growth, step and column health and welfare, that's an estimated number of what increased costs are for next year. It's just a ballpark. So you're absolutely correct, is that we have to wrestle with that, too, for next year.
All right, so the first is the revenue, and then we need to account for some contingency factors that will establish some percentage. Very low.
We think costs are, increased costs will be. Yes.
All right, thank you.
Yes,
Trustee Bryson.
Right, thank you. Thank you, President Adonisio. I go back to Sacramento on Monday afternoon with the treasurer for legislative meetings, and I do have something to tell all the parents, and please spread this word to all your friends and neighbors who have children or who are just caring about the children in our district. We heard a meeting today with most of the treasurers of the state on the phone, and the bottom line was, and this was stated by most of the treasurers in the state of California, the real problem is that there are legislators in Sacramento who will not stop spending, and they're strangling our schools by spending money that should be going to our schools. So I ask you all to be activists. Write and call the legislators who will not control their spending. Tell them they're hurting our children and they're hurting our teachers, and to stop it.
Comments?
Mr. On your budget spreadsheet here, you've got some assumptions plugged in the lower left, COLA and growth, it looks like. How do those
on
affect
here?
These? Yeah, lower left-hand corner, at least on my copy.
Okay, COLA 4.23, growth 0.69%.
Yeah, this is copied over, and that wasn't changed at the bottom, so that's actually from a prior year.
Okay, so
that does not apply.
That was in the footer.
From year to year.
Okay, so those don't apply to your work here. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions from the trustees? That ends the workshop portion. We'll go back to you with comments, suggestions after the shock wears off. We're now accepting blue cards for the closed session. Any blue cards with regard to conference with chief labor negotiator, conference with regard to legal counsel, conference blue cards with regard to public employee discipline / dismissal / release, or any blue card with regard to public employee / employment. Any blue cards out there? If not, thank you. We will adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
So moved.
I second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you so much for your attention this evening to the public. Thank you for coming.